Praise. We give you all, we give you all.
Thank you.
praise you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I'm going to sing it again. I just want to speak.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. The light of fire.
Sing verse 2, verse 2.
Hallelujah. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Oh,
We speak the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name to which all knees must bow and every tongue confess is Lord. Of all things in the heavens, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. Thank you for a wonderful name. Thank you that your name is good, because your word is good. We rely on the consistency of your word, your steadfast love. We rely on your capacity to keep us, to uphold us, to direct us, your capacity to heal and to restore, your capacity to override the pangs of pain and death, for you are Lord, sovereign, the one with the first word and the last word. We find comfort in you. And we say thank you for the wonderful privilege to speak your wonderful name, Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much for being here tonight. This morning, we talked about being steadfast, the importance of being steadfast. The word found in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 that tells us about being steadfast. It's a powerful word. And it's a word that, in real terms, means to sit. And it connotes by that statement, sitting, that you are settled, that you've got certain things settled in your life. There's a commitment that you have made that's got you to that place where you just sit. And when God calls us to sit, to be settled, He's calling us to that place where He says to us that we are seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So to be in this place where God says, be ye steadfast. God is saying to us, be settled. Remember, you are in Christ. You are settled in him. Be unmovable. Don't be easily turned because of what people did or did not do, what God may have done or you presumed he hadn't done. Just be settled. Keep doing the work. Keep serving. No man should be able to tell when you're going through a situation that you're going through it if you didn't tell them. There are things that Mom and I are going through at different times that you have no clue about. You have no idea. Because the smile never got wiped off our face. We did not slow down our pace. Why? Because we know that our reward is from the Lord. Now, the capacity to beat that is not by human strength. Because if you try to live that kind of life in your own ability, you fall flat. It is being in Christ. And you and I need to do that individually. Be in Christ. Be surrendered to the Lord. Be committed to the Lord. Be established. Settle down. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't get yourself all wound up because of circumstances, because life is about circumstances. If you're able to go to the hospital and somebody is hooked up to a monitor, you see the up and downs. That means the person is alive. If you flatline, you're dead. True? Okay. Well, life is about up and downs. But the thing about life and the ups and downs of life is you need to be in that place where you are settled in God. That nothing moves you anymore. The enemy cannot read you because you're not giving him anything to read. If through those ups and downs you are showing distress and all kinds of nonsense, the devil knows exactly what to push. We did this and it worked. Keep on at it. Keep on. Reminds me about the story of the African story about the turtle. This, you know, in my Nigerian culture, at least in my tribe, there's a lot of stories about the tortoise or turtle. The turtle is put inside boiling hot water. And it's swimming and says, this doesn't hurt me. I'm doing so well here. Oh, this is so good. I'm enjoying it. Wow. Can you heat it up some more? Can you please heat it some more? Because I'm enjoying myself here. It says, what really messes me up is when it is cold. Oops, 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 oops. Oh, no, what did I just say? I just told them my secret. I grabbed it and put it inside cold water. And tortoise says, bye-bye. Well, when the enemy is punching at you, you got to do the same. I remember Muhammad Ali fighting against Joe Frazier. And Joe Frazier was just a dangerous fighter. I think he's the one that could get him out, because this guy was... And Ali says, is that all you got? Is that all you got? Then the guy's thrown his best punches and this guy's telling him, is that all you got? And that's how he got into the minds of his opponents and won so many battles. Rather than the enemy get into your mind, get into his mind. What are you going to do to me? Paul says, what are you going to do? Throw me in prison? Been there. Actually, let me tell you. Why don't you send me to the one over here? I was preaching to somebody over there. I didn't finish. Send me there. No, this is my rendition of his attitude. If you go try to find that verse, you'll not find it. Send me over there. Yeah, that jail. Yeah. I'd like to go to that one. You know what? Why don't you send me to Rome? I appeal to Caesar. God told me I'm supposed to go over there, and over there I'm going. Okay, there you go. Pressure. Shipwreck 3 times. And the guy keeps on ticking. Paul, you are called. Jesus showed up and showed you himself. You're so anointed, man. You should not be going through all of these troubles. And he will tell you, I've learned how to be satisfied no matter what situation I find myself in. I'm not going to jive and complain about how rough things are right now, because all of this is temporary. That's a mindset every believer needs to have. You and I. Because the Christian life, the life of faith, it's not as easy as you and I think. Yet the Lord says, take my yoke. It's easy, it's light. And I say, what are you talking about? What do you mean it's easy? What do you mean it's light? With all of this persecution I'm going through? With false brothers that are saying one thing, smiling at you over here, and then stabbing you from the back? What do you mean? And he says, if you only knew how much the devil hates you and how much he wants to hurt you, you will understand when I say it is light. Because I've made you a commitment that I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. I was visiting somebody maybe about 20 or 30 years ago. I was going through a difficult time, and they were really going through a really difficult time. I said, wow. I envy you. I said, God said that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. And you're going through all of this. How much faith God has in you. Man, God must have so much faith in you to allow you to go through this. Because he's God and he cannot lie. Are you going through this? How much faith and confidence God has on you? He sees something about you that's allowing you to go through this. My, how much faith does God have when he looks at me and says, I'm going to allow you to go through this. And at the end of it, you'll see what I've done. I was looking at the word. It's lost to me right now. Tapestry. The old-fashioned tapestry. And when you look at it from the backside, all you see is threads all over the place. Ugly stuff, ugly, ugly. And you flip it around. You see beauty. How can this be the same thing? This is not machine made. This is handmade. And the God made sometimes looks so messy. It looks messy. But on the flip side, you see the amazing splendor and the artistry. You say, wow, look at what God has done. I didn't know this. But look at this beautiful, beautiful scenery, beautiful mansion, beautiful sea line. Beautiful mountains. Flip. I don't see no mountains here. I don't see no houses here. I don't see nothing here but thread. Looping all over the place. I don't see anything good here. You turn it around. Wow. Look at those birds over there. I see a bird. Two birds. Oh, I see a boat right there. No boat. No bird. Just thread. Loose thread. What you and I need to do is to look at the other side. I don't know how many times I've stopped and thanked God. God, I didn't see it before, but I thank you. I thank you that you let me go through this, because if this hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have experienced this. I wouldn't have experienced that. I wouldn't have met this person. Yeah, I thought I was late. But God, I thank you. Because if I was on time, I would have been in that accident. Thank you, my car stalled. Oh, this foolish car. No, no, it's not a foolish car. Cars can't be foolish. This rust bucket. You're just looking at it from the wrong perspective. You need to look at it from God's perspective. So what is our prayer? God, help me to see your perspective. I need to see things the way you see them. And when I settle it in my mind that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, I'll settle. I'll be seated. God rewards those who diligently seek him. And people who seek him diligently are people that are steadfast. They're steadfast in their faith. They're consistent. Jesus, our Lord, said, continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. A lot of believers are not living with truth because they've not learned how to continue. First roadblock, they turn around and they don't see the greatness of the goodness of God, the things God has planned for them. Now there is a place where God may not want you to go. And the Bible says it's a fool that continues to go in a particular direction when things are bad. Well, he's a fool going through that bad situation because he's not listening to God. A person who is steadfast in faith continues to listen to God. You continue to listen. What is God saying to me? And understanding that it is not your circumstance that speaks to you. It is God that must speak to you. If you listen to your circumstance, you'll be led astray. You must be led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So as many as listen to the word of God, those are the sons of God. But when you listen to the word of God, you've got to do what God says. And understand that your steadfastness is God word related, not circumstance related. Let me say that again. Your steadfastness is God word related, not circumstance related. Because you can say, well, I'm going to be really hardy and I'm just going to be like this and I'm not going to give in and whatever else, and you kill yourself because you're not listening. God said to Joseph and to Mary, they're going to have a baby. That baby is going to be the Son of God. That baby is going to be the Savior of the world. That was the word of God. Yes? But wait a minute. When God says to them, leave town, if they stayed there and said, no, I rebuke the devil, God's son cannot be killed. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. I'm a man of faith. I'm not living here. Guess what? Jesus will be dead. Hello? No. God said something, and when God said something else, you follow what he now said. The continued present word of God is what you always follow. What he said yesterday is what he said yesterday. But if he changes what he said, then follow through with what he's saying now. Is somebody listening? That's where you're steadfast. Your steadfastness is not based on the circumstance that you're facing. It's based on the word of God, that you are steadfast in following God. God said this, that's what I'm going to do. But Pastor, you said God said that. How can God say that? And now he's saying this. What did God say? Go ask him. He said, he says to Isaiah, tell Hezekiah he's going to die. Get your house ready. Man of God goes and tells him, and next thing, man of God comes and says, Hezekiah, you're not going to die. This is the treatment. God changed his mind just like that? Within an hour? A few minutes ago, I'm going to die. Now he says, I'm not going to die. Well, follow what he said. I hope this is helping somebody. God, what are you saying? Jesus said to his disciples, let's go on to the other side. They got to the other side. They cast out demons. And says, let's go back to where we came from. Why did we come over here? We're just here for a few minutes and we're going back? Yeah, I did what I came here for. Direction. Following through. Staying true to the directives of the Lord. That is paramount. And you and I need that today. God can say to you, you're in your house, seated, doing whatever. And God says, leave now. Get out, right now. Take nothing, out, now, now. You get out of the house, you go 5 blocks, he says, go back home. Lord, you just told me I needed to leave the house urgently. I left 5 minutes ago. Now I am going to go back? Yes, go back. So you go back. You sit down. Why did I leave? And then you find out when you left 5 minutes ago, armed robbers came into your house looking for you to kill you. And you left, and they're not coming back because now you are in your house. We've checked that place. There's nobody there. Direction. Direction. Following through. Listening to God consistently. What is God saying? How is he leading me today? What does he need from me now? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, don't be dogmatic about circumstances. Be dogmatic about hearing God. That's the one thing. The Word of God says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's how you live. That's how you continue to live. By listening to what God is saying. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to you? How is God relating with you, and how are you relating with him today? It's got to be very, very fluid, because that's where your steadfastness is. That God told you something does not necessarily mean that you will not have problems. God told me to do such and such. That means I will not have a problem. It's already taken care of. Yeah. Sometimes the direction of God brings you into problems. But the thing about it is that God will not allow you to go through any problem that is bigger than you. And with every problem that He allows you to come to, there is a way of escape. And your way of escape is in listening to Him, the same one who is leading you. Knows exactly how to take you out. And with every experience He takes you through, He's building the fortitude of a God character. God is more interested in making you more like Him than you feeling comfortable. Let me say that again. God is more interested in making you more like Him than making you comfortable. I'll say it the third time. God is more interested in making you more like Him than making you comfortable. So whatever it is that He needs to do to make you more like Him, He will do. May look like the backside of a tapestry. But on the flip side, you're more like Him. You have built up character that reflects who He is. You want fragrance? Then you must understand that there might be some crushing. God allows you and I to go through crushings to release the fragrance. We have grape juice in this container. But this juice came from crushing. You have olive oil that we use for anointing. And that oil came from crushing. The very essence of you, what God is doing in your life, many times comes out by the crushings He allows. And I must ask myself the question, how much of God do I want to let come through? And you'll find out. The essence of that comes through the crushings of life. The squeezing. I wish I could tell you different. But that's where your true character comes out. What's inside of you. And when you find that what's coming out of you is not reflective of who He is, then you must cry out to God, God, I thank You that You allowed me to go through this to expose those things inside of me that do not belong. If you get punched and the first thing you are saying it's F you, something is wrong inside you. Hello? Because that F you did not come about because of the nice thing that you're going experiencing. It came about because you got punched and something popped out inside of you that was hiding. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have exposed an area in my life that does not belong. I commit it to you. I give you praise. I worship you. This is what causes the devil to run crazy, because with every punch he gives to you, you are praising God. Say, what is going on? What is going on? But God's best is not allowing you to be squeezed like that so that the essence of you shines forth. Because God is light. Amen? God is what? Light. And for light to shine, light does not need to be squeezed. It just needs to be turned on. It just needs to be powered on. And so God's best is not squeezing you. God's best is causing you to be turned on. How do you get turned on? By the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp. God's Word is light. Yes? The first thing God said was, let there be what? Light. And he said that to turn around a bad situation. So we must grow in our steadfastness, in our walk with God, to say, God, I want to go past squeezing so that the essence of who I am comes out, to the place where you are so in me that all I need to be is to be turned on. That's what I want, to be turned on, to shine, and darkness flees. I want to be that. I want to be the one who shines as light, and things are removed out of the way, and there's no occasion for stumbling. Because when the light shines and there's no occasion for stumbling, then there's no reason not to be steadfast. That's where the Lord says, take my yoke. It is easy. It is light. That's what it is. Having the Word of God taking you through the crucible of life to a place of awareness where you become one with the Word. Bible tells us about a warrior, one of the great men of David. He finds himself in a barley field. The Bible says the Philistines came, the enemy came, and this one man, when everybody left, he decided he was going to be steadfast. He decided he was going to keep that barley field, and nobody is going to take anything from there. It does not belong to them. He grabs a hold of his sword and he begins to fight. He fights out the enemy, and at the end of it, the Bible says that he could not pry the sword out of his hand because he had become one with the sword. He'd become one with the sword. The Bible tells us that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as you hold on to that word and will not let go, and you fight the battles of life, there comes a point where you and the sword become one. You become the Word of God. And the devil is very scared of those people. And we, you and I, need to be in that place where the consistency in continuing in the Word causes us to be one with the Word. Because we're steadfast. We know that God is faithful. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says something very interesting to us there. It says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Wow. It says, and then when lust hath conceived, lust actually gets conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And then it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us. With what? The word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wow. When the first fruit takes place, the rest is blessed. So what is God saying to us? He's saying to us, listen, most of the problems that you're going through is caused by you. Say, what? What do you mean it's caused by me? Your lusts, your desires, they are not in proper order, and it brings you into all kinds of situations. You're lusting after money. You're lusting after status. So it brings you through certain things. But if you don't lust after those things, and you could care less, but I have status, I don't have status, I have money, I don't have money, I have clothing, I don't have clothing. You're not worried about any of that. You're not concerned about any of that. You will not fall into all of this mess. Because the mess you're going through is so that certain things can come about in your life. I allow you to go through certain things so that I can form my image inside of you. And as long as you have all of these extras, I have to bring my scalpel and my whatever to shave off stuff off of you. So the less baggage you want, the less trouble you get. Did I lose somebody there? If I lost you, just wave at me and I'll repeat myself kindly. We don't consider, all the information is in the Word of God. God is telling us, listen, the reason you're going through this is because of that. But I want you to know that I gave birth to you. And you are light, and I don't go like this, like this, like this, like this, like that. I'm consistent. And I'm declaring to you that you are good, you are perfect, and you came from above. You lack nothing. Oh, but God, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. okay? Since you need this and you need that and you need this and you need that, you're going to go have to go through some situations so that you can handle whatever it is that is coming your way. So what do you want? You want to go through this, or you just want to have light and create, see the manifestation of whatever it is, not because you're looking for it. It just falls into you. It comes to you. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Which way do you want to go? You want to worry and struggle and do 20 jobs to make it in life? Well, you're welcome to that. If that's the way you want to go, you're welcome to it. Or you can chill, rest, and see me work out those fine details. I know what you need. If you set up your mind, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say now, that the only way you're going to get things accomplished is through long prayers and fasting. That's how it's going to be. And you know what? God, because God is more interested in you spending time with him and you've been changed into that same image, and if it is long prayers and fasting that will make that happen, God will give you enough opportunities to fast and to pray those long prayers. And he will sit down there like he's not going to answer the prayer because he wants to change you. But if you just, hey, daddy, how are we doing today? I know you're doing good. You're doing good. I'm blessed. I thank you. Lord, I'm going to go sleep now. You know, I'm going to sleep in your presence. Huh? We know each other. We don't need to talk that much. I'm in your presence. That's how God will deal with you. He says, let it be to you according to your what? Faith. There's some people, they have to fast 40 days. And then comes this guy, and he just walks in there and grabs stuff. And he's going, well, I've been fasting for 40 days. Why, God, am I? You set up the plan. You set it up. You set up your own plan. But if you just, hey, Lord, I thank you that I'm in your presence and you are with me and I'm with you. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I'm not leaving. Thank you, Lord, for grace and for your mercy. You just said all. Now, if God says, I want you to fast, he knows why. Then do that. He said, as long as the bridegroom is around, they don't need to fast. Is that what his word said? Okay. Is he still around? Is he inside of you? So you don't need to do that and do this and do that and do this and do that. If you want to fast, fast. Lose some weight. Hallelujah. But don't kill yourself. It becomes salvation by works. All God is interested in is that you love him and that you know that you are in his presence. It's a faith connection. He did many things for us so that we don't need to do this because he's already done it. And we're drawing from his energy and from his power, and we're drawing from his glory in continuing resting. Well, is there advantage in fasting as much? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisee says, everybody's fasting. How come your disciples are not fasting? They don't need to. I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Is he with you? Then don't become religious. He says to us, you know the kind of fasting I have planned for you? Help other people. Raise up the ones that are weak. Speak courage into the hearts of people. He says, that's the fast I've ordained. No, I'm not going to eat Burger King today. I'm fasting. Good for you. Say, Pastor, don't you fast? Of course I do fast. I fast when something in my life is not lining up and I need to crush it. You fast. Are you here? Are you listening? We've misunderstood the statement of the Lord when he says, this kind cannot live except through fasting and prayer. Well, what he was addressing was the issue of faith. When your faith life is not connecting properly, you have to go into a fast to force your body to line up with the word of God. It says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill it. You're not going to control me. Flesh, you're not going to control me. And to show that you're not going to control me, I'm going to starve you. Shut up. That's how it works. But all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go into the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, they will recover, cast out demons. And he did not say it was because you fasted. He said, because I go to be with the Father. You're going to do greater works than I did because I go to be with the Father. Go to be with the Father means if he's with the Father and you are in him, you are settled in him. Is somebody getting this? Settle. Don't make it some big thing out there. Now I'm spiritual. I've been fasting. Praise the Lord. Why do I need to know about it? They fasting and they show it. See, if you're going to fast, don't let anybody know. Take a bath, comb your hair, put on your perfume, dress up real nice and everything. So nobody knows that you've been fasting. If I'm fasting, you're not going to know about it. Why do I need to tell you? Except we're doing something corporate. There's a crown. Hallelujah. Let me give you two or three more quick scriptures and I'll let you be tonight. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Isaiah 54:10. It says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, said the Lord that had mercy on thee. He said, I'm not going to take stuff. He says, mountains may be removed, you'll depart, hills are going to be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Receive that. Mountains can be removed, hills can be removed. My mercy, my kindness will not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace. He says, hold on there, because the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. Hang in there. Amen? My covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is steadfast on thee, because he trusted in thee. He will keep him in perfect peace. Hallelujah. God will keep you and I in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on him. It says, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. In essence, it doesn't matter how long the situation is, you handle it. As light as this thing is, I cannot hold it like that for the next 4 hours. This thing will become like a thorn. After a while, even now, I'm beginning to feel it. But when you have strength, it's nothing. Just stretching my hand like this without anything on it will begin to burn. Because this is not the natural way for my hand to be. And what God is saying is that no matter how bad the situation is, natural or unnatural, strength, everlasting strength is there for you. No matter what the situation is. Well, because you trust in God. Your trust is in God. So no matter where you find yourself, you will be fine. Wow. That's amazing. When will it be rough? When you are proud, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. When you are proud, that's when you collapse. But when you humble yourself in the sight of God, you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. So our key to steadfastness is surrender, humility, trust. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Hebrews 10 and 36. He says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For ye have need of what? Patience. Hupomone, that's to stay under the shelter, the covering of God. Says you need that. So that after you have done the will of God, by being patient, by being steadfast, by waiting, you might receive the promise. Ye might receive the promise. Ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. What does that say to me? It says that my timing and God's timing are not necessarily aligned. I think it's going to take so much time to do this, such and such, and accomplish such and such, and God has his time over here, and I'm thinking it's going to happen here, and God has his time over here. He says, when your timing and God's timing don't seem to align, just stay there. Hello? Do you remember the story of the virgins? The wise and the foolish ones. They were all invited. The wise ones took extra oil. The foolish ones took just enough. Just enough. And God is saying, listen, don't do anything just enough. Have you ever seen fans of different teams? They don't just buy the expensive ticket to go over there. They start wearing buying expensive colors of their team and everything, and they start painting themselves, you know, in the colors of their team and doing all this extra stuff, wearing all kinds of funny stuff. That's a fan. And they go crazy when their team wins. And when their team doesn't win, they're all mournful. But tomorrow they're coming back. That's when you know that's a fan. Well, God wants you to go that extra mile. If we win, we win. If we don't win, I'm still a fan. That's what Job said. Even though he slays me, I'm going to still serve him. You're not going to take that from me. He says, just a while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That means will not tarry means that at the right time that he has decided, that's when he's going to come. He will not tarry. He will not delay. But Lord, you're delaying. I have this time period for you. Who is Lord? You or him? Well, I have to understand that because, man, it's going to be 50 years this year. And there's certain things I know God told me about that I've not seen. I could have quit a long time ago. This is not going to work. No. We're not doing that. If he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So I look. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. But look at what I've got. And what I've got, I cannot have accomplished with what I have. God is doing something. God is doing something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God always gives you reasons to celebrate while you are yet waiting. Hello? He gives you reasons to celebrate while you are yet waiting. And when he comes, it is over. There's nothing the devil can do about it. Watch the next verse, verse 38. See this. It says, now the just shall what? Live by what? Faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God's not calling you to draw back. Drive on. Oh, you're a fanatic. You always, hallelujah, praise God. All right, it's all right. I get to do this for all eternity. I'm practicing now. I'm practicing, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. What's your problem? Am I doing it for you? Are you the one going to church all the time? Well, you got to do something with your life. I'm doing something with my life. I'm in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They that are planted in the courts of our God shall flourish. Even in their old age, they shall be fat. That does not mean 500 pounds. It just means you can be successful. Hallelujah. Anyhow, let me stop now, because I can keep on talking for the next 20 hours nonstop. Praise God. There's so much in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I know if I keep on talking for that 20 hours, I'll be here by myself. So better respect myself. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, God is good. Hallelujah. I celebrate the goodness of God in all of our lives. I thank God that He's faithful. And we need to determine in our walk with Him how we're going to live our lives for His glory and honor. Remember, God's more interested in making you more like Him than giving you pleasure. Making you comfortable. It's not that He will not comfort you. After all, He said He's going to give us the Holy Spirit, right? The Paraclete, the one that comes alongside of us. But one of the things He says is that He is going to be our comforter. What do you need a comforter for if you don't need to be comforted? Have you thought about that? You need a comforter because there are going to be times that you need to be comforted. And God is saying, I got you. I know there are going to be times that are rough, but I got you. Just trust me. Tonight we're going to say, God, I trust you. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace when you place your trust in me. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for the wonderful grace accorded us, that we can surrender our lives to you and know that you will not dash us and break us apart and render us useless. We are confident that anything that you do is for our good. Just like an orthopedic surgeon sets the bone, and the person's bone and the experience might be hurtful, but at the end, healing takes place and things are corrected. We know that there are going to be times when you need to fix something. And we trust in you. We just trust you with our lives. For we know that you will do right. And we ask, O God, that your steadfastness will be transferred into us so that we begin to demonstrate the very splendor and glory of your name. No matter what is happening, we live in a world that is going through chaotic experiences. People are living in fear. uncertain about the future. But Lord, oh God, we know that you are very clear about every day of our lives, and that we need not worry or concern ourselves about anything. We ask, oh God, that you help us begin even now to do the things that are righteous and right. So, Lord, oh God, that at the end of all of this, we'll find ourselves in this open area where we'll find total security, because all that was needful has been done as we obeyed your directives. We ask, oh God, that we'll be led by your Spirit, by your word, and that the presence of mind to be obedient is activated in us. Father, we bless your holy name. Thank you. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for being part of the service tonight. At this time, we will honor God with our giving and just celebrate his goodness. And please be reminded that we have some serious missions engagement. I've been a little bit hesitant to tell you how much this will cost this time around, but we need about 40 grand to do what we need to do. And if God speaks to you to assist in this regard, whatever it is that you're able to do will be truly a blessing. We need to touch lives in this investment. I don't know what God is going to do with the people that we come in contact with, but I do know this much: God will do something. The Bible tells us that we need to celebrate every experience in him, especially the salvation of his soul. Amen? So there's nothing, no matter what our investment is for his soul, it counts. It counts. Amen? So I encourage you. That particular ministry trip is going to happen in May. So from now on, if we give every week towards missions, even though our missions budget or missions Sunday is the last Sunday of every month, if we keep on giving, it all ends up adding up, and we'll be able to do what we need to do. Amen? So let's do our utmost and look forward to the amazing testimonies that God is going to bring about. Well, I'm excited about that set of meetings, because not only are we going to see people saved, we are going to buy back slaves. We're going to start small micro businesses for those that we buy out of slavery so that they have something to do. Some of these people have been in slavery for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, whole families enslaved. We're going to buy all the whole family out and start something for them. So as much as we can do to help bring about those kind of results, God help us too. Amen? God bless you richly. And I'm going to ask Minister Ruben to come close in prayer. I'll come back and greet those that are on Zoom.
Father, we want to thank you tonight for giving us the grace to come into your presence. We are asking that you give us the grace to be steadfast in your word, to cleave unto your word, to obey your instruction, to walk in your directives. And as we do that, O God, that we will be able to see your will being fulfilled in our life. As we go this week, God, we ask that your presence will go with us, and we will see your goodness even in the land of the living, that we will enjoy your greatness even this week. Thank you for what you have done. I pray for our Father that you have used for us tonight, that you will replenish him, you will increase the grace and the anointing upon his life, and every resources that is needed for this ministry will be supplied.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Praise God. We'll see you on Wednesday and on Friday.